Good evening. I'm Tara Nashby, your moderator for tonight's telephone town hall. I welcome you to this live event and would like to thank everyone for taking time this evening to join us. Tonight, Senator Art Haywood of the 4th Senate District will take your calls as he discusses SNAP benefits. Senator Haywood will be joined by the Department of Health and Human Services, also known as DHS. As a reminder, if you have any questions and would like to join the conversation, please press star 3 on your keypad at any time to participate. So without any further delay, please let me welcome State Senator Art Haywood.
Thank you, Karen. Good evening, everyone. This is State Senator Art Haywood. Welcome to the telephone town hall for all my friends and neighbors within the 4th Senate District. I would like to thank everyone for taking time out of their busy schedules to participate on this call. Whether you ask a question or just prefer to listen to the conversation, I appreciate your engagement. Now, if you'd like to ask a question at any time during tonight's discussion, please press star 3 on your phone. Star 3. Now, as Karen said, this evening we will be discussing SNAP benefits, also known as food stamps. We know, and I have had a telephone town hall on this topic already, that there are dramatic changes occurring for those who receive food stamps, SNAP benefits. It will affect those who get the benefits. It will affect the stores that depend on people who are shopping with these benefits. So, I'm not going to get into more details because that's why I have a very special guest, Carl Feldman. He's from the Office of Income Maintenance at DHS. And sometime later in this call, we may be joined by the Secretary of DHS, Val Arcouche. But before we get there, Carl, please let people know what you do in the Office of Income Maintenance and maybe hit some high-level changes to the SNAP benefits program before we jump into the calls.
Okay, very good, Senator. Thank you. Hello, my name is Carl Feldman. I'm the director of the Bureau of Policy within the Office of Income Maintenance, and we make eligibility policy for the SNAP program. We make eligibility policy for Medicaid program, for LIHEAP, for cash assistance, and for some other smaller programs. And I'm happy to be able to share some useful information with you tonight about changes that are a result of the Congressional Budget Bill, H.R. 1 of 2025, also known as the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. You may have heard many things about changes that this bill will bring to public benefits recipients in the Commonwealth as a whole. And these changes will take place over time to different programs. It is true that the SNAP program will likely have the first impact, and we can talk through tonight what you might expect when that occurs. The first thing I think is important to bring to your attention, because it's the first thing which is likely to change, is that starting on September 1, because of a change in the law, Pennsylvania is no longer eligible for what's known as a waiver of SNAP time limits, or we must reimpose SNAP work rules across the Commonwealth for individuals to whom those work rules apply. People are able to identify to us whether they are exempt from those rules based on having a dependent child, based on potentially having a disability, making it unable to work, or if they're participating in employment and training. We will be in touch with people about whether they need to comply with those work rules or not. Another change which we anticipate taking place is around non-citizen eligibility. The federal law changed the categories of individuals who are non-citizens that may receive SNAP. And so as a result of that change, Pennsylvania must also change the rules in the state SNAP program. And there are some groups of non-citizens who were previously eligible, most notably refugees, will no longer be eligible to receive SNAP in the future. And then finally, there is a change to the way in which people receive a shelter utility allowance, which ultimately is a small benefit that we pay out to certain households that don't otherwise indicate that they should receive this allowance, so that they can enhance the value of the SNAP benefit that they receive. The federal law has prohibited us from doing that. So those are the three most immediate changes, and I'm sure we'll be talking about the time frames on which they will be implemented and to whom they will affect.
Thank you so much, Carl. So quick question, just for the work requirements, that's been a big subject of our conversation and action in my office. Before we get to the callers, could you let those who are listening know what are the ages of individuals who will be expected to have these work requirements?
Yes, I'll start by saying that on September 1, the work rules, which will be applicable across the Commonwealth, will be based upon the rules for the SNAP program and the work rules for the SNAP program, which existed prior to the passage of this federal law. And so on September 1, individuals aged 19 to 54 will need to participate in employment or training, and that is the age range for the initial imposition. But because the federal law has changed, new applicants starting in the month of November will have that age range increased up to age 64.
Got you. That's 19 to 64 beginning November. All right.
Well, yes.
Got you. Let's get to, Taryn, let's get some callers and get some callers in so we can respond to questions that they may have. Thanks, Carl.
Alrighty, as a quick reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, press star 3 on your telephone at any time. Senator, we're going to start with an online question from James from West Oak Lane. James asks, I heard they're doing this to push people who don't work in getting jobs. Is that true? Will this new requirement actually get more people working?
What do you think, Carl?
Well, I can't elaborate on Congress's intent for the passage of this law. I can say that the Commonwealth over the years has had work rules on some of its programs, and ultimately we have not seen that work requirements are successful at increasing employment. I feel like that's what I can accurately share with you tonight.
Thanks. Yeah, and I think we saw one report that many people who are receiving SNAP in this 19 to 55 able body are already working. So those who are already working, obviously this wouldn't cause them to work, and that those who are in school. Activities that counts for as a work?
Educational attainment is one way in which individuals can meet the requirement employment and training programs for employment. Yes, that is one way that individuals can meet the requirement. Also, community service is another way.
Thanks so much. All right, what's our next question?
All right, we're going to go live with Renee. Renee, you're live.
Hello, yes, my name is Renee, and I have a question in reference to my son. He's a special needs man. He is 48 years old. He has always had a disability. He receives the SNAP benefits. Would he still be eligible under that disability to receive the SNAP benefits because it's documented?
What do you think, Carl?
Yes, Renee. as long as we have documented the disability status, we would not have to apply a SNAP time limit in that scenario.
He's good, Renee. Thanks so much.
All right, our next caller is Michael. Michael, you are live.
Hello?
Yes, Michael, go ahead.
Yes. How you doing, Senator? My question was, as far in regards to the training to learn a new skill so that you can go to work, what kinds of training and what kinds of skills will be available for those who are interested in trying to attain the ability to get better jobs or to get jobs?
That's an important question. Yeah, that's an important question, Michael. We have around the state employment and training programs that provide a number of opportunities. Some of these are known as SNAP JEST programs. That's our acronym, JEST. And they have certificate availability, and they have the ability for someone to enter into an apprenticeship. Those are localized programs, and not every part of the state has them. Pennsylvania has a map of these E&T programs that we can make sure to have given to the senator. Also, in many counties, we have employment and training providers that the county assistance office can make a referral to that will do certificate programs, sometimes related to medical needs, sometimes related to customer service or hospitality actions. We're going to be spending a lot of time at the department working to enhance our offerings because we know that this is a significant change, and in order to meet the need that people have, we want to make sure that we add additional resources. But we do have the ability to make referrals today to some very effective employment and training programs, and the best way to engage with that is a conversation with our county assistant office.
That's super helpful. All right. Let's keep going, Karen.
All righty. Our next caller is Karen. Karen, you are live.
Hello, everyone. I am a HUD administrator for Section 8 in family housing. They get a utility allowance deducted from their rent, making their rent lower. Will this affect HUD contracts too? Will they do away with the utility allowance?
What do you think, Carl?
You're definitely hitting on an important subject that I think sometimes flies under the radar, but we do have to make sure we take into account the utility allowance for individuals receiving subsidized housing. We're not doing away with the utility allowance. The only thing that's changing is there are some people who receive SNAP who are they don't have available to present to us their utility need, and for those individuals, we make a payment through our LIHEAP program in order to confer a utility allowance, which will no longer be permitted unless the household has an elderly or disabled member. So I guess what I would say is that utility allowances will certainly continue broadly, but the number of people who will be eligible to receive it will be more limited than it was previously. I think the key thing to know is that if they were receiving it under this special mechanism and they have an elderly or disabled household member, they can and they will continue to receive it.
That is such an important conversation, one that we haven't had before, which is this utility allowance impact. And Karen, thanks for raising that. And Carl, thanks for responding. This could have a dramatic impact on people's ability to get heat and be eligible for other programs. Thanks so much. This is really helpful. What else we got, Karen? Wow, we're moving quickly through these calls, but let's keep it coming.
A quick reminder before we get to our next caller. For any participant on the phone right now, if you would like to join in on the conversation, please just press *3 on your phone at any time. Senator, we are going to go live with Naomi. Naomi, you're live.
Hello?
Yes. My question is for the children that receive the $120 over the summer, will the SNAP program still be available for the children over the summer?
I think that Naomi's question is based on what you've said about actually our Sunbucks program. And the Sunbucks program was not changed through the federal budget bill that we've been talking about. And for that reason, we continue to push forward with making those summer benefits available to individuals who are eligible for them over the summer period. These are people who receive SNAP, CAS, certain categories of medical assistance. If you submitted an application to your school to get free reduced price meals, or if you submit an application to the state for what's known as Sunbucks. So yes, that will continue to be available unless at some future point something changes specific to that program.
So that's one piece of good news. That's good. Thanks so much for that update, Carl. Let's keep it rolling.
All righty, we're going to go live with Rose. Rose, you're live.
Good evening. I just wanted them to quote the income range for seniors as well as family or family size of one or whatever. I'd like to find out the range for income to qualify for SNAP.
We're going to look that up. I'm not sure we'll be able to get it to you right over the phone, but just give us a little bit, please. Thank you.
And Rose, we will certainly have that in my office by tomorrow. If we don't have it by the end of this call, and you can contact my office, either come to the office or probably more convenient just to stop by. And that's, give us a call. Probably more convenient is what I meant. You can give us a call at 215-242-8171, 242-8171, and we'll certainly have the response by then. All right, let's keep it going.
Hey, we're going to go live with Juanita. Juanita, you are live.
Good evening, Senator Haywood, and to your guests. I have a 34-year-old niece who just lost her job last year due to downsizing, and she has an autistic son that she has to care for at full-time, taking him to speech therapy. He's 3 years old. She's really trying to get work from home. And they're not hiring once they find out she has a child. And she's being truthful that he has autism. He runs around and he's making noises in the background, so they don't want to hire her for that reason. She receives SNAP. Will she be denied, even though she's actively trying and she just can't find a job?
That does sound like a challenging circumstance. What we can say is that, first off, an individual would not be denied eligibility for not initially meeting a work rule. It's also known as a SNAP time limit because individuals are afforded 3 months in a three-year period. The three-year period is set by the federal government. Even if the work rule did apply to this person, they would be able to receive up to 3 months prior to exhausting their eligibility. That said, it wasn't said what the age of the child was, but on September 1st, when work rules become applicable statewide, if the child is under the age of 19, then the person would not be time limited. Starting on November 1st, if the child is under the age of 14, the time limit would not be applicable. And so that is something that's going to change a little bit, as I said, and I think that does make it confusing for people. I definitely understand that. It is challenging for us to get the best information out there about it, but that's kind of what I would tell you tonight.
And I think she may, thank you, Carl, I think she may have mentioned that the child is 3 years old, so that will be, so she will still be able to maintain staff assistance for several years until the child gets 14 under the current rules. Now, one thing that I certainly agree with Carl, there's been a lot of change in the last few months, and we can't be certain that there won't be more change in the future. But at least for now, under 14, taking care of someone under 14, an adult, a parent, means you do not have to comply with these work requirements. So your daughter is safe for now. All right, let's keep it rolling.
All righty. Our next caller is William. William, you are live.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Good evening, everyone. I'm just trying to find out, are senior citizens, I'm 78. I'm just trying to find out, are people my age entitled to SNAP or whatever?
Sure. William, I'll say that someone at your age would not have time-limited SNAP, would not have a SNAP work rule by merit of your age. The age starting on November 1st for work rules for time limits is age 54. And then new applications after November 1st, that age upper age threshold becomes age 64. So if for all other reasons, you know, notwithstanding anything else, you are financially eligible and meet all the non-financial eligibility criteria, then the work rules, the time limits, are not something that someone at your age would need to be concerned about.
William, you're safe. You're 78. Congratulations. Congratulations. All right,
quick reminder, if you want to join in on the conversation or ask a question, please just press *3. On your telephone at any time. Senator, we are going to go live with Mary Ellen. Mary Ellen, you are live.
Hi, good evening. Thank you very much for taking my call. I'm calling on behalf of a neighbor who isn't able to attend this, but he was recently laid off, was living paycheck to paycheck prior to that, 58 years of age. He did tell me that they did a great job in Montgomery County Career Link. He's planning on starting a program and training for something. But again, it's food insecurity is becoming an issue for him. He's never applied to SNAP. And he was curious, do they take into account like your 401k? I mean, he obviously could draw from his 401k, but he's just worried about his future. Is there any parameters around savings? We're not familiar with the program, so I'm trying to help him out.
Sure. It's good that he's thinking about the availability of SNAP. Despite the changes, SNAP is still the nation's largest food security program, and it is there to be available for people who need it. People come on and off different parts of their life, and the SNAP program has an income threshold, and for the vast majority of people, there is not a resource limit. That's what we would call those kinds of savings, like 401k or something like that. And so for that reason, I would encourage this individual to simply file an application given the circumstances. And I also want to say that I did bring up the SNAP income guidelines as Rhoda's asked for. And so for a household size of one, the maximum gross monthly income up until October of 2025 this year, at which time we will issue new income guidelines based on the new federal fiscal year, that limit for household size of one is $2,510. This is monthly. For two, it's $3,408. for three, it's $4,304, and a household of four, it's $5,200. But there are also deductions that might come into play, and so our best advice is always, if you are concerned, if you have a need, we would encourage you to apply.
That's extremely helpful. Carl, would you repeat those guidelines per household once again, please?
Sure. This is the SNAP income guidelines, maximum gross monthly income by household size. I'll just read for the first four household sizes. A household of one is $2,510 a month. A household size of two is $3,408 a month. A household size of three is $4,304 a month. A household size of four is $5,200 a month.
Thank you so much. Great call. Thank you, Mary Ellen. I hope your neighbor applies and gets the assistance that's available to him. All right, Karen, how are we doing on call?
We're doing great. We're going to go live with Betty. Betty, you are live.
Yes, good evening. My question is this. The immigrants that are already on SNAP, when will they be ineligible for SNAP? Will it be September 1st?
So non-citizen eligibility rules will change as of October of this year. And I think the easiest scenario to envision, because it's one of the more common ones, is someone who happens to be a refugee to the United States. As of October 1, if they were to apply for SNAP, they would be rejected for not meeting the non-citizen eligibility criteria.
And the refugees, these are people who are coming from other, fleeing other countries, coming to the United States because of persecution or some other, you know, some wide range of risk that puts them in the refugees category. They're fleeing some country, and they get to the United States, they can no longer receive SNAP assistance as of October 1st. Let me ask a follow-up question to Betty. So if a person is undocumented, can they receive SNAP benefits?
Hello, apologies. I was disconnected.
Okay. Mike, let me restate the question. And thanks for getting back on so quickly. If a person is undocumented, immigrant in the United States, they don't have documents that say they can be here, visa expired, whatever. They don't have documents that say they can be here. Can that person receive SNAP benefits?
No, undocumented non-citizens are not eligible to receive SNAP. And also, that was not something that changed under the federal law that was passed. Undocumented non-citizens were not eligible to receive SNAP even before the law changed.
Okay. So undocumented immigrants couldn't get SNAP before, can't get SNAP now. So the change is the refugees, that's the only change. Significant. I shouldn't say only that. That's the change.
I would say that okay. Is the most common scenario. There are some other smaller, less common non-citizen statuses. But if your constituents are trying to get a sense of like who does this most frequently affect, I think the refugee cohort is probably the most common scenario.
Got it. Yeah, and I guess that's also important because for a long time. Undocumented couldn't get SNAP anyway, so they're already out. They're not expecting. All right. So thanks so much, Betty. I hope that answered your question it did for me at least. Okay. Who's next?
All righty. We're going to go live with Sharon. Sharon, you are live.
Yes. Well, I wanted to know about the income guidelines per the work requirement, but that question was cleared up for me when, the senator was giving the stats about the income now and I guess for later.
Yeah, Carl did that. Carl gave the income standards that are in place until October, because every year, Carl explained, the income rules may change. So, but he did share the rules that are in place until October, and when they change, hopefully they'll go slightly up as opposed to slightly down. But, yes, I'm glad that we were able to share that information. If you have any further questions on that, please call my office tomorrow or anytime thereafter.
All right, we're going to go live with Danielle. Danielle, you are live.
Hi, thank you so much for holding this. My question is, by next year, how many Pennsylvanians overall do we expect to lose Medicaid health care from where we are now? And will they be assessing temporary disability versus permanent disability differently under the new law? And will, you know, people who have temporary disabilities be cut more readily, or are there more stringent requirements for that? And then lastly, will there be more frequent requirements to submit information? I think they had been doing it yearly for people who were already in a Medicaid program, and then they are asking every 6 months for an update. Will they ask for more frequent, you know, documentation to meet the requirements under the new law? Thank you so much.
Thank you. Now, Carl and Danielle, our focus was primarily SNAP and the food benefits. These are questions all related to the health care benefits, Medicaid. Carl, I'm not sure you're prepared for that. If you are,
we do have information that we can share about this. The Shamir administration, through analysis of previous experiences with changes to eligibility as a result of work rules and paperwork requirements, are concerned that over 310,000 Pennsylvanians may lose their health care as a result of the medical side of these changes, which will not take place as imminently as some of the food changes that will take place in October, but are nonetheless a requirement under the law. I think it was asked, will there be more frequent eligibility determinations? And for some people, the law does require eligibility determination. Medical assistance is determined on an annual basis currently for almost everyone, and as a result of the law, for individuals who received medical assistance through the Affordable Care Act, that will change to 6 month period of eligibility. That again, and will not in the immediate future. It's something that will take place starting in the year 2027. So there's a little bit of time before that occurs, but that is something that will change. And the food assistance side of it, there is an annual redetermination for SNAP, but there's also a 6 month redetermination known as the STAR semi-annual review. You may be familiar with that. That part not changed as a result of the law. I think there were some other questions that were asked around the need to submit additional paperwork. Ultimately, I think their goal to be ability when possible without the need for additional paperwork, but there is no doubt that when some of these requirements, such as the requirement to participate in certain community engagement or work activities and show that that took place to us to make that determination, and then we're going to have to ask the applicant or recipient if they can provide that to us. So it's something I think we do anticipate will happen as a result of this law. I think there were some other questions in there that I didn't get to, but I'm having trouble recalling them.
That's great, Carl. No, you hit the high points. And Danielle, if you have some further questions, you can get them to my office. We will get the questions to Carl and his team, and then we'll be able to get back to you. Okay, let's keep it going.
All righty, Senator, before we go live with our next caller, I believe Secretary Arcos joined the call.
Is that right?
I did. Good evening, Senator. Good evening, everyone.
Thank you so much for joining the call. Would you just take a moment to please introduce yourself to the callers I want to tell you, Carl's doing a fantastic job. He's already responded to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. He's already responded to 12 questions in a half an hour. But please introduce yourself to those who are on the call, and then we'll keep the call coming.
Great. Well, thanks, Senator. And good evening, everyone. I'm Dr. Val Arkush. I have the honor of serving in Governor Shapiro's cabinet as the Secretary of the Pennsylvania Department of Human Services. And as you're hearing tonight, I lead an extraordinary team, of which Carl is one member of that team. Our team runs both the Medicaid program and the SNAP program, and many other programs that help provide stability for families all across the Commonwealth, like LIHEAP, the Heating Assistance Program, and many, many others. And I'm just so grateful for the Senator lifting up these issues and these threats that we're seeing to these really foundational programs that provide stability for so many families in Pennsylvania, and making sure that people have the facts about what's coming, what people can do to protect their access to these critical services. And we're going to need an all-hands-on-deck effort here with people letting their friends and their neighbors and their faith community and their parent community and any other place where you are interacting with people, just to make sure that folks know what they need to do in these next months and this next year. So thanks, Senator, for the opportunity.
Yeah, no, thanks so much. And for everyone on the call, as you all know, Secretary Arkush is a neighbor. She lives in our district. She's one of our neighbors, and we're fortunate, very fortunate to have a neighbor running this department. And thank you so much for creating the time to be with us. So, all right, let's keep it going with the calls.
All right. Our next caller is Brenda. Brenda, you are live.
Brenda.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
The nature of my call. If someone was on SNAP and they only work 15 hours a week, would this benefit terminate them from getting the SNAP benefit if they only work 15 hours a week? They're currently getting.
Yes, thank you for, we can give you some information. So the work rule and the time limit requires at least 20 hours per week or 80 hours in a month. And so in order to make sure that this individual is able to continue to receive assistance, we would need them to pick up some kind of additional work or employment and training or community service. That's what the work rules do require. As I said previously, everyone is 3 months in a 3-year period in which they might not meet that standard and not lose their eligibility, but if that threshold is 20 hours per week or 80 hours per month.
So, Secretary Arkush, given that this person related to Brenda is 5 hours short right now, 5 hours short a week. What, if anything, can we do to help him or her?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And I think that this is going to be a very common scenario. So one opportunity, obviously, would be to see if it's possible to increase work hours, but we all know that that may not be the case for many situations. And so our community can pull together and think about ways to create structured volunteer opportunities. For instance, at a local food bank or at a local Goodwill or Salvation Army or, you know, any type of community-based charitable organization that has the opportunity for people to go and volunteer in their service. As long as those hours can be documented, then those hours would count toward meeting that total of 80 hours required in order to maintain the SNAP benefit.
Thanks so much. I got to jump in. I saw a NPR interview this morning. It was some grocery store in Texas where the store owner was independent, and I wanted these big chains. And the owner said that about 30 to 40% of the customers were SNAP beneficiaries. And I may have shared earlier in a separate conversation with Secretary Cruz that there's a grocery store in my district, Save-A-Lot, at Washington Lane and 2. The managers told me 80% of his customers are SNAP recipients. How do you look at this impact beyond the individual person who may not have food and has to go hungry, but what it may have on broader community and grocery stores?
Yes, I'm happy to take that one, Senator. So obviously these cuts to SNAP are going to have really devastating consequences for our families here in Pennsylvania who receive SNAP and who may no longer be eligible. But there is another dimension to this, which is our 10,000 grocers and retailers who participate in SNAP here in Pennsylvania. All of them certainly would see a decrease in business if individuals are no longer eligible for SNAP. And it impacts our farming community here in the Commonwealth. As many of your listeners may know, most of our farmers markets also accept SNAP as payment. And there's significant concern about the economic impact for our grocers, for the people who work at our grocery stores, and for our farming community. It's been estimated that for every dollar of SNAP that comes into the state, it generates $1.54 of economic activity. So this is another piece of this that we're watching very closely.
Thank you so much. Yeah, another concern. We'll see how we can manage. All right, Karen, let's keep it going.
All righty, we're going to go live with Denise. Denise, you are live.
Hi, I'm calling. My biggest question, I work in homeless shelters and have been active within the community. With all the changes that's going on, what kind of food availability is going to be available for people? A lot of people don't have family members that can come and fill out forms and help them or get people situated who have disabilities. And again, I work and I'm having a food insecurity and don't qualify for SNAP. What kind of resources are going to be available to actually help the people not to be able to starve to death?
What do y'all think?
Yeah, I can jump in on that one too. So our charitable food network is an extremely important part of ensuring that Pennsylvanians have adequate food. Right now, our charitable food network is seeing a very high number of people, even higher in many cases than they saw during COVID, simply because the cost of food is, as everybody knows, very high right now. And a number of the tariffs that the president has imposed, I think, will only continue to make that those prices go higher. So normally, you know, we would say, well, there's food banks and other charitable food networks. One of the things that we are concerned about is that for every meal that a person gets from a charitable food member here in the state, like a food bank, a local food pantry, SNAP pays for 9 meals. And so as SNAP goes away, there really will not be the ability of our charitable food network to fill that gap. So, again, these are all issues that we're deeply concerned about and issues that we want to lift up to those who are representing us in Washington, D.C. and in the Trump administration where these changes are coming from.
Yeah, Denise, thank you so much. Thank you for that question. Denise, you raised something, and you both raised something I didn't really fully grasp, which is because of the cost of grocery stores, that's sending people to food banks. That makes a lot of sense. I don't go shopping a lot. Julie and I like to go shopping the most time. But I've been gone a few times here, and it's like unbelievable, the cost. I went to Giant. They wanted to charge me, I think it was $21 for some cherries. So, yeah, these prices are unmanageable for so many families. And, yeah, it's going to be tremendous strain on our communities.
Senator, I do want to convey for the caller that, especially for individuals who are homeless, just want to encourage them to tell the county assistance office that that is the case, because it is an exemption from the time limit if they are chronically homeless. And so it's true that it can sometimes be tough to have that engagement to get the paperwork done, but I want to encourage people to come forward to the CAO to say that that's what's going on with them, because it is taken into account in how the eligibility is determined.
Thank you. Thank you so much, and that's a ray of hope. I got some impression that the new rules from the Trump administration are going to have an impact on veterans and those who are under foster care. Is that accurate?
So it is true that the law that was passed eliminates an exemption from the work rule that was previously available based on having been a veteran or having been formerly in foster care. Without those exemptions, those individuals, if they do not meet another exemption, will have to comply with the work rule in order to receive assistance.
That's rough. Karen, what else we got? Who else we got calling? I know we got some questions that were sent in advance, but let's have a preference for those who actually called in.
Okay. We're going to go live with Monica. Monica, you are live.
Hello, Senator. This is Monica Berrien. We've met before. It's a pleasure to be speaking with you. Will there be any providing of job training and job placement for those who are looking for work that will, you know, need to meet these hour requirements? And will you also be reaching out to the faith-based organization for ways for our pastors to have volunteer programs, or if we can work on some type of volunteer programs for not only our congregants, but for the community at large so they can meet these hours? Is it okay if I call your office? My pastor, Pastor Harrison, is out of town, and he won't be back until Monday, but I'll get the information for him, and then I can he can call you when he gets back in town on Monday.
That's fantastic. Let me address the second two questions related to the faith-based community. So we certainly want to have the faith-based community engaged. Pastor Harrison has already been engaged in so many community activities already, and we certainly want New Journeys, his church, to be engaged as well. We are, in terms of my office, looking at reaching out to a number of religious leaders to, one, make them aware of the changes, and two, try to help them understand the structured volunteer opportunities that Secretary Arcus raised. So, and certainly, I'd be glad for you to reach out to my office tomorrow or any other time. We definitely want to have you and Pastor Harrison included in what we're trying to do in terms of outreach. Thank you so much for being willing to participate and be part of the solution here. So that was addressing the couple of questions that Monica raised. I think she had an initial question that I don't think I'm able to
answer. Yeah, I can take that one, Senator. Yeah. So, Monica, we do have employment and training programs through SNAP, and you can reach out to the County Assistance Office to learn about those. We have about 4,000 slots across the state, so obviously that is not enough, and we are looking for new partners in that work, as well as employers that might be interested in providing some kind of job training program.
We are also going to be working very closely with Pennsylvania's Career Link. That set of programs is run through one of our sister agencies, the Department of Labor and Industry, and they also have many connections to job training programs. And then I just want to remind the listeners that going to school is another way to meet this requirement, and we do have some programs through SNAP that work with all of the community colleges in Pennsylvania. So we partner both with Philly and Montrose Community Colleges, and that program can help with things like transportation, child care, the purchase of books, and some other things to help make going back to school affordable and attainable for individuals that might want to look at that those kinds of opportunities.
Yeah, thanks so much. I just want to share with respect to CareerLink. We do have one CareerLink in district, in the Fort Center District, and that is at Haynes and Germantown Avenue, very, very close to the intersection of Chelton and Germantown. So we are fortunate to have a CareerLink in district. My office has worked closely with them to do job fairs and trying to match people with work and other opportunities. So we do have an advantage, and that's good. And thanks so much for raising that as another resource for our neighbors, Secretary Cruz. Thank you. Tara, we're going to take a few more calls. Let's see if we can get a few more in.
All righty. We're going to go live with Stephanie. Stephanie, you are live.
Hi. I would like to know if the person – I'm calling up for my brother. My brother has cancer, like stage 4 cancer. He's 62 years old, and how would that affect him with the changes?
Well, very sorry to hear about your brother's condition, but I'd certainly yield to Secretary Arcus for a call.
That is unfortunate to hear about. I'll try and give you the best information that we can. Related to eligibility and the time limits. For him and receiving assistance today or as of September 1 when the time limits return, because of his age, the time limit, the work rule would not apply to him. But if he were to apply new by November 1, the time limit would apply to him because the age threshold increases to 64. Now, given the circumstances you described, he may be eligible to have a designated disability, and that would potentially exempt him from that time limit. So I think if this is somebody who isn't currently receiving assistance, I would encourage them to apply now to, you know, claim the benefits to which they're eligible and also have a conversation with the county assistance office about that disability status so that we can make sure to document it and ensure that they continue to receive everything they're entitled to.
Sorry to hear that, Stephanie, but thanks for calling.
All right, two more calls maybe? Sounds good. We'll go live with Dawn. Dawn, you're live.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, hi, Senator Haywood and the two people that were getting the information in reference to the SNAP benefits. Now, I'm calling to ask about like Meals on Wheels or Mom's Meals. Does that affect the seniors or the people that are on disabilities? Will it affect them at all? Do you know?
Right now, the SNAP program is totally separate from those programs, and I am not aware of any cuts to those programs. I'm not 100% certain of that because that's not under my area. But I don't believe there's been any cuts to those programs.
That's good news. And Stephanie, we'll certainly double check. And if you reach out to my office, give us a couple of days. Reach out to my office Monday or after, we'll be able to have double checked, so you have a answer, which may be from the county. Thanks so much.
Senator, do you want to do another caller?
Oh, yes.
All right.
One more. One
we
more.
Will go live with Nina. Nina, you're live.
Hi, Senator. So my question was just regarding many of our county assistance offices. I know a lot of them are experiencing staffing shortages already. And so with these additional SNAP recipients who will now be required to participate in employment and training, I'm just concerned about the capacity of the offices and managing the increased workload, particularly, you know, being able to track the attendance and participation. So my question is with the offices currently being short-staffed, how might this impact our SNAP recipients if the staff are not able to track timely? I know that there's already pressure to get our staff error rate decreased from 10%, I believe it's to 6%. So how is this going to impact our SNAP recipients?
That is a very timely question, and thank you for asking. So this is something that we are have an all-hands-on-deck approach to working on. First of all, we want to make documenting and verifying people's community engagement, whether it's work, volunteer, or school, as easy as possible, not only for the recipient, but for the employer or the volunteer director or the school who has to potentially verify those hours. And so we have brought in a number of folks to completely review our processes from start to finish and look for ways to streamline them internally for our staff and understand if there are some computerized and sort of IT solutions that we can bring to bear, and also if we're able to, in very select circumstances, use some kind of artificial intelligence. And I want to be really clear that we do not use artificial intelligence to verify eligibility of somebody's benefits. So that involves humans. So I don't want to make anybody nervous about that. But for instance, could we use AI to read pay stubs that somebody uploads into our system? You know, could we have AI look at the pay stub and enter that data? Things like that. So we are very mindful of the increase in workload. This is an unfunded mandate from the federal government. It dramatically increases the workload for states, including Pennsylvania. We are not getting additional funding from the federal government to ramp up all of this work. So we are going to do everything that we can to make this work go as smoothly and quickly as possible for everybody involved. And can't help but note that we are hiring in our county assistance offices. And so if anyone who's listening is interested or knows anyone who might be interested, these are really important jobs. You are doing the absolute most important work of helping people in your community get connected to these benefits. And so if you're interested, we'd love to have the opportunity to talk with you.
Wow. Thanks so much. This has been a very quick hour. It looks like we got over 16 callers in. So we're going to close this out. But Secretary Arcus, I did want to give you an opportunity to share anything that you wanted to share with those who still may be listening before I go into our brief closing.
Senator, I just want to thank you so much for your leadership. I want everyone listening to know that from the moment this bill passed, Senator Haywood was reaching out to me and my team to find out what he could do for the folks in his district. And I just want you all to know that you've got a real staunch advocate in Harrisburg, and he is thinking about all of you every single day, and we're all certainly very grateful for your leadership, Senator. And Carl, thank you so much for joining us tonight and pitch hitting for me. In fact, doing a way better job than I could have in answering some of these questions. So thank you so much. And for everybody listening, I know this is scary stuff, and it's very anxiety provoking for all of us. I just want you to know
that my team and I are working this every single day. And in every decision that we make, we are always going to put folks here in Pennsylvania that we are serving first and foremost. And we will do everything we can in every decision that we make to put the people that we serve first. So please know that, you know, as long as we can't, we have to obviously follow the law, but within that, we're going to do everything that we can to continue to support and staff the 2 million Pennsylvanians that currently benefit from that program.
Wow, thank you so much, and this has been a great discussion. Again, I'd like to thank Secretary Akush and Carl Feldman for joining us this evening. Thank you all for participating in our telephone town hall discussion tonight. That's to those who listened in and to those who asked questions and gave us some suggestions. I wanted to specifically thank Renee, Michael, James, Karen, Naomi, Rose, Juanita, William, Mary Ellen, Betty, Sharon, Danielle, Denise, Monica, Stephanie, and Nina. Thanks so much for calling in. If you didn't have a chance to ask a question, please remain on the line. You will be able to leave a question on a voicemail for me, and we will get back to you. Thank you again for your participation, and if you have any additional questions or concerns, please call my office at 215-242-8171, or simply visit my website at senatorhaywood.com. Thank you again. Have a good evening. Thank you so much for your participation.